You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, Cashman speaks, but does it matter? It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Lightning round, an hour-long program until Don LaGreca brings you an extended Islander pregame up at 7:30 for Game 2 of the Islanders and the Lightning in the Conference Finals. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. On Twitter, it's at Chris Carlin. Instagram, that guy Carlin. Brian Cashman spoke just a little while ago regarding his team and the frustration level that exists with the fans and with everybody in the organization.
Frustrated. Certainly didn't expect to be in this position, you know, at this stage. Thankful, obviously, there's a lot of season left, so obviously there's some chance to fix it, and that's obviously on me to find ways to fix it. But, I never would have expected us to be sitting here dealing with some of the issues we're dealing with. It's been, you know, frustrating, I know, for our fans, but it's obviously been just as frustrating for us to try to deal with and navigate, and we're still dealing with it and navigating it. So, I promise you, and I promise our fan base, we're going to do everything in our power to right the ship, and you got to find a way to figure out our way through it. And that means, clearly some roster cleanup or fixes or whatever. I'm knocking on the doors and having my phone calls. June things are opening up a little bit now, where in April and May, it's not the time or place, but I'd say from June approaching to the All-Star break, there should be more opportunities that become available. And if we can find some matches to see if we can improve what we've got, we'll certainly take our shot at that. But yeah, I'm frustrated, no doubt about it.
And then he channeled his inner Tom Coughlin.
Talk is cheap. No one really cares about, all the hard work, all the, the good intentions. All they care about, and understandably so, is the results, and the results just have failed so far. And we need to obviously get on that winning track and get our numbers where they belong in that win column and become relevant again. Cause right now, we have not been, the relevant powerhouse in the American League. We've been everything but.
And so the Yankees now find themselves in this position because of the moves that Brian Cashman has made over the last few years. There is no getting around that. And what's interesting to me about these comments, in addition to another that he made, which was, we have the guys in the room to get it done right now, is that the Yankees are not even remotely thinking about giving up on the season. And that's encouraging. That's great. You feel good about that. Will they go over the $210 million payroll tax threshold? Didn't rule it out. Said that Hal Steinbrenner would absolutely consider it if it made sense. And that's great. The bigger issue on all of this, is that if Brian Cashman believes these guys are in the room, that the talent is there to get it done, and they do not, that should be the epitaph on his general managerial record, the very end. Because when you make a statement like that, you're saying, what I have put together is good enough, so let's see it go happen. He backed up Aaron Boone as much as he could. He said it doesn't have anything to do with the manager. It has to do with us just not getting it done. Well, right now, here we sit on June 15th, and Brian's in a position where his team is nowhere near where they are supposed to be. This is not just about not winning the World Series, which we know they haven't done. It's not just about getting to the World Series, which we know they haven't done, both in quite some time. This is now about a team that's a bad baseball team. It's a bad team. It's inconsistent. There are not many things that they do particularly well. We can talk about home runs all you want. The home runs have not led to runs scored because all the home runs they have hit, the majority of them, have been solo shots. Can't talk about guys when they are on the base paths when the Yankees have made 31 outs on the base paths this season. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Can't talk about how great the pitching has been when for the last couple of weeks it hasn't been great. And it's been inconsistent. Last 14 games, 6.16 ERA. That's your starting rotation. About the only thing you can say you do really well is you have two back end of the bullpen guys who are really, really good. And I'm not getting on Chapman for what has gone on over the last week. That's going to happen. So here we are. Here we are with the Yankees very much at a crossroads. There's a month and a half until the trade deadline. Is it going to be more inconsistency? Or is it going to be a team righting itself? I feel like it's going to be more inconsistency. You're going to have a time in the next 3 to 4 weeks where you feel like, all right, they have straightened this out. They have gotten this back to where it needs to be when they go and they win 8 out of 10. But don't forget, they've done that a few times. And this has been over the course of a couple of years where they will go and lose 8 out of 10. This is why they are where they are. So don't be fooled by a stretch that is not long enough or consistent enough that is going to carry the day. Reserve your judgments either way until we get really close to the deadline. And if you're sitting there, 4-plus games out of a wild card, 8.5 out of a division at that point, you're going to go out and buy some more? Be careful. Be very careful. Because you're going to let the general manager then not only throw you off on the payroll tax, which 3 years in a row, it will exponentially go up next year in terms of what you have to pay on that payroll tax, and you're potentially giving away talent in your farm system that, frankly, is not at a terribly high level right now. Be careful. Eric Bolin from Newsday, outstanding story about the Yankees organization and the seeming lack of fundamentals that are being taught from top to bottom. This is a problem, guys. This is the head of the problem is the man speaking right now. And that line today about we have what we need to get the job done in that locker room, that's the highlighted quote from the day today. Because that's the one that's going to come back and finish him off at the end of the year if it doesn't happen. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. We roll on the phones, on Twitter, next.
It's Carlin.
This guy sucks.
98.7 ESPN.
Roll, Carlin, 98.7 ESPN up until 7:30. Don LaGreca, a Don Show, Islander pregame then. Matt in New Jersey starts us off right here on ESPN New York. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I just got to get a couple, not too bad. I got to get a couple things off about Cashman off my chest here. You know, for years, we've heard the Yankees say that they were in on the next year's guy. It wasn't Machado and Harper because they wanted Arenado. It wasn't Corbin because they had their eyes on Cole. And you did this year after year, and it was never a guy that you brought in and it was solidified a spot. You tried to fill it with two or three guys who were scrappy players coming off of injury, and they got really lucky for a couple of years because Urshela turned out and Talkman turned out, and all of a sudden these guys who were absolute nothings around the league had career years and were able to help carry this team. But they've tried to fill holes with scrap heap players for years, and now you're seeing what happens when it doesn't work. And
Mike Talkman and Gio Urshela are not the problem here. The problem here is the amount of guys that strike out on this team, and thanks for the call. The problem here is that, frankly, DJ LeMahieu this year has been terrible for DJ LeMahieu. Gio Urshela is not the issue. Mike Talkman's in San Francisco, and by the way, you probably should have kept him, as it turns out, because he's doing pretty well out there, and you could have used another outfielder. These are not the problems. Gleyber Torres is the problem. Guys like that. Giancarlo Stanton is the problem. You know, they can get red hot, they can get ice cold. Gary Sanchez is the problem. These are the real problems. Peter in Oakland, New Jersey is up next. Peter, what's up, buddy boy?
Hey. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree with you more on the problem. And the problem has to be laid at the feet of Cashman, right? He's about to put this together. You have a bad team. You have guys that can't run the bases. They don't do fundamentals. You got Sanchez catching on one knee with a runner on third. Who's ever seen that before? That's not even taught in Little League. It's embarrassing. They can't run the bases. They got a base running coach. Well, what? You know, at some point.
The base running stuff. I'm not pinning the base running stuff on the coaching staff. I'm not going to do that. You're all big boys. You're supposed to know how to do it by now. It's part of the job. And when you don't know the fundamentals of it, that's on you. When you get to the big leagues is not for teaching.
I'll take that point. But what about the attitude when they go on the field? They think that they can just turn it on whenever they want. They're not that good to turn it on whenever they want. They're not built that way. And they really haven't proven anything. They haven't won anything. They think that they can just go on the field because they're the Yankees. What have they done? This team hasn't done anything. Hey, and then the press always gives Boone a pass. Boone gets a free pass on everything because he's a nice guy. But you know what?
I disagree. I don't think Boone gets a free pass, and thanks for the call. I don't think that's what's going on at all. Boone's getting hammered publicly. I just don't think Boone's the problem. I really don't. I'll tell you when the manager's the problem. Boone doesn't make a lot of mistakes in-game. That's not what goes on here. These are not double switches. It's the American League. What does Boone do that frustrates everybody? Let's be honest with ourselves for a second. What does Boone do that frustrates everybody? It's one thing. And that is he comes out and he protects the players after games. And 95% of you have problems with Aaron Boone because he doesn't rip them to shreds after they play poorly. And what you need to understand is this is not the 1970s. This is not the 1980s. That's not what happens anymore. It doesn't happen. And guys who do it don't have jobs for a very long time. They really don't. Boone protects his guys, and that's part of why the Yankees wanted him, that he would be the one out in front taking the bullets and doing it relatively comfortably. But you guys want him to scream and yell and throw over a water cooler and take a bat to the railing on the dugout. You want all that stuff. That does not mean Jack Squadouche when it comes to winning and losing. It does not. Be honest with yourselves about it. Because if you're really going to nitpick on Aaron Boone, there's not much to try to really get on him about that's legitimate. That stuff has nothing to do with it. Motivation has nothing to do with it. These guys are not playing up to their level. That's it. And maybe, just maybe, their level isn't as high as we thought it was. The GM still believes that it is. We already have the guys in that clubhouse. That's what he said today. We already have the guys in that clubhouse. Do you? Aaron in Queens is next. 98.7 ESPN. Aaron, what's up?
Alan.
Alan, what's up?
Yes, I wrote off the Yankees right after they got swept by Boston, and they're 2-3 since then. I see no reason to change any ideas about them.
Say that again. The last, you don't.
I wrote them off after they got swept by Boston for making the playoffs.
Uh huh. So you think when they got swept by Boston, that did them in?
I think so. Just a sign. They couldn't win even one game from Boston at home.
Yeah, Alan, I mean, that's too early in the year to say something like that about the Red Sox. That has nothing to do with it. They played terribly against the Red Sox, but they've played pretty terribly most of the season. And this is the problem. When they go up and down, I really could not figure out what you were trying to say with that comment. When you go up and down like they are, that means you're a bad baseball team. It means you're not good enough. It's amazing that they are sitting here a game over 500, and you look at the stretch of wins and the stretch of losses that exist in their record this season. You know, I mean, they start the season 3-2, and after that, they lose, what, 9 of their next 12. Then they bounce back and they win a ton of games. They went from 6-11 to 28-20. That's 22-9. And then what happened? Back in the tank. See, this is the problem, guys. When you do that kind of stuff, you don't make the postseason. And if you do, it's barely and it's not for very long. You're not good. Tyler, West Hampstead, next. Tyler, I was a little delayed getting to you because I'm trying to do math in my head, and that's not good.
No problem. Hi. Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to get your take. Why do you think, if you had to choose a couple of reasons, why do you think it's reaching critical mass against Cashman now as opposed to 14 through 16 when those teams were also very bad? Do you think it was just because fans were more willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because, you know, it was the end of the core four, the team was still trying to find their identity? Like, why do you think it's reaching critical mass now?
I think all of that is true, and I think you were not as far removed from a championship or even a World Series appearance. You know, this team is used to making the World Series. This fan base is used to making the World Series, and it hasn't happened in too long. So I feel like that's a lot of what you said is the reason. But more than anything, you're just further removed from it every day.
Like, do you also think it's because we now have had another managerial cycle under his tutelage and that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a few things. I think you can look at that. I think, and thanks for the call, Tyler. I think you can look at his history with pitching that he has brought in outside of the guys who were the no-brainers, the Sabathias and the Garrett Coles. You know, I look at all that, and I just realize that you're not a team that is very good this season because of where you are, or because of what the inconsistency is that you have played with, excuse me. And you're a GM that has put this team together that hasn't been good enough. They haven't gotten back to the World Series, let alone forget about winning it. They haven't gotten back to it in 12 years. Yeah, they've been close, but let's be honest. One World Series appearance in the last 18 years, 17 years, that's not what you grew accustomed to. OG in the Bronx, what up, OG?
Yeah, this is what's up. I'm on your side. It
what do you
is
got?
Not Jones' problem. It is not his fault. I would fire Brian Cashman on the spot, get a new GM, get that rolling, and keep going. And like what Brian Cashman said, no, you're not going to keep it like that. You can't keep it like that. You got to make a move, buddy. And he's not doing that. And Cole, I'm sorry, they need to give him a pay cut. I mean, I'm just saying, because he's a good pitcher.
That's not happening.
I'm just saying, give him a pay cut. Do something because, I mean, I don't know. I think he's with the wrong team. But really, really, I'm going to tell you one thing before we end this conversation. July 31st, I'm going to call you up. I want you to remember OG said, Yankees are out of it. That's it. Hasta la vista. Ciao, Bella. We're going to have them out, and it's not going to happen. No World Series. That's my prediction.
All right, OG. Thanks for the call. I hope that you're wrong, but I don't expect that you're going to be wrong. I really don't. Firing Cashman on the moment, I know what you're talking about, okay? It's not going to happen until the end of the year. And even then, it's not even a lock that it's going to happen. But when you come out and make pronouncements today, like we have the guys to get it done, then to me, you are writing your own obituary. And that's the first line. Because if you don't have it, and the team goes quietly into the night, then you're the one who's going to pay for that, or at least you should be the one who pays for that. Because you've assembled this team over the last several years, over the last 20-some years, and over the last 12, it hasn't been nearly good enough to get it done. Yes, you're spoiled. Don't apologize for that. Don't apologize for that as Yankee fans. There's a standard here. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. Update on James Harden next.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, this is awkward because I just stole my own thunder. I said it earlier on Bart and Hahn, filling in for Allen along with Bart. They absolutely should not play James Harden tonight. Here is the update on James Harden. Let's get it.
Kinda. Breaking news?
I got to get my equipment fixed here. Something's wrong with that. Steve Nash on James Harden. No update. Still has to go through pregame warmups. Not sure of the level of risk. He wants to play. He's been pushing. It's James' decision, and we will support him. Okay, couple of things. Number one, I'm sorry. It should not be James' decision. Yes, he's a grown man. I understand that. He is not going to tell you the truth about what the situation is. Absolutely not. The Nets need to medically make that decision for him. And when you're in a playoff series, the coach needs to step in. The medical staff needs to step in. If James Harden cannot go tonight, they need to tell James Harden he cannot go tonight. And it's more than about James Harden and his stupid legacy. Okay? I'm not worried about James Harden and his legacy right now. Look, if he goes out there and he's brilliant tonight, that's fantastic. Here's the bigger problem. If James Harden goes out there and hurts himself worse, or God forbid, suffers a different injury, overcompensating for the injury that he has with his hamstring that he's already done damage to twice this season, and he misses time next year, or he turns into Kevin Durant and blows out his Achilles, or suffers another injury to, let's say, tears an ACL because he's overcompensating for it, then where are you? You're without Harden next year, then everybody's a free agent, and God knows what happens. Then it's all been for naught. Naught, I should say. Then it has all been for naught. James Harden can't make this about James Harden tonight. He has to make it about the Nets' best opportunity to win the game. Obviously, if he feels like he's healthy enough and he's being honest with himself to really go out there and contribute, okay. Okay. But at that point, I don't want to hear about it. If you're out on the court, you're playing. And the injury doesn't matter. If you feel like you're good enough to go, then you're taking away that excuse. And then secondly, if you are a guy like Kevin Durant and you have James Harden not playing in a game like this, it does become about Durant. Yes, the secondary crew that is with him, the likes of Joe Harris and Blake Griffin and Jeff Green, all have to be difference makers tonight. But just look at what the history is for Kevin Durant when it comes to not having another member of his supporting cast as a superstar in the postseason. We gave you this stat last night. It bears repeating. Kevin Durant has played in 148 career playoff games. His record is 94-54. The amount of games that he has played without one of the following: Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, or Kyrie Irving. All on that star to superstar level. The amount of games in the playoffs he has played without any of those guys on his team, 9. All in 2013, all with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He did his thing. He averaged 30, but they were 3-6 in those games and lost in 5 to the Memphis Grizzlies, who were not a great team in that second round. They were not a great team. Tonight will not be a knock on the legacy of Kevin Durant if he doesn't win. It will only enhance his legacy if he can find a way to get a game like tonight or to get this series without his other two stars and get to the conference finals. That will speak to his greatness. He will not harm his legacy. He will only enhance it, but it's important. It's important for him. It's not too much to ask for Kevin Durant to be able to go out and win a game at home against a pretty good team. It's not too much to ask. I'm not going to put a number on what he has to score tonight. What I am going to say is it has to be close in the fourth quarter, and he has to be on his game in the fourth quarter to lead the Nets to a win. 800-919-3776. Terrell in Brooklyn is next, 98.7 ESPN. Terrell, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm a big fan of the show. I've been listening to what you're saying. And the only thing I really have to disagree with you on is I absolutely think this is going to hurt KD's legacy, with or without Hardy, if he can't come through. You know, the two rings he got, he had to join a 72-win team. Everybody wants to call him a top-10 player all time, best in the world today.
I don't think he's a top-10 player all time. I think he's a certainly top-5 scorer, if not top 2 or 3 scorer of all time. I don't know about overall player, though. Anyway, go ahead.
You got to get this game. Like, he's had more help than any star in history, with the exception of maybe LeBron James, when you look at the overall talent that he's had. If he can't beat Giannis, who's essentially Shaq right now, he can't hit a jump shot to save his life. He's still the best player in the series, with or without Kyrie, with or without Harden. I don't want to hear no more noise about him being the best player in today's game if he can't get this done. I think he's a fraud for going to Brooklyn in the first place. I think James Harden is a choke artist, and they all trying to band together to make it happen. So now the lights are on, and let's see what they do. I don't want no excuses when they lose tonight.
Thanks for the call. If he doesn't win this game tonight, I disagree. I don't know that it's a big knock on his legacy. I really don't. I don't think that's being terribly fair to him. And look, he is somebody that's used to playing with other stars. But when I look at all the all-time greats, they all did, for the most part, when they won their championships, when they made their difference. Jordan needed Pippen. Kobe, you know, he won it without Shaq, but he also had Gasol at a pretty good level. You think about all the all-time greats, they usually had somebody else with them who was pretty damn good. Theo and Bethpage is next, 98.7 ESPN. Theo, what up?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I got 3 points to make. First of all, I agree with you totally about James Harden tonight. You know what? Don't bring the guy back. I mean, you're risking so much. And to agree with Terrell, to be honest with you, Kevin Durant should be able to at least will his team as the great player and the leader of that team. He should be able to get at least one win.
I don't think it's outlandish to ask him to get you to game six with a win. I don't think that's outlandish.
I'm asking him to get me to game six, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, having Kevin Durant on your team, Joe Harris, Jeff Green, I mean, you know, you should be able to win at least one of these games. But you know what? It's more preserving James Harden. I agree with you with that. I would never want him to come back, you know, if he's going to risk hurting himself and keep himself out, because then nobody wins. You know, and then we don't know what they could have been. But, you know, the reason why I called was a little bit earlier. We were talking about, the Yankees and, you know, the poor play. And you know what? I got to tell you, I put a lot of it on Cashman, but ask me this one question, and then, I have a point to make. Before the season started, with the roster that the Yankees had, were we confident?
With the roster that the Yankees had before this season, were you confident? Of course you were.
Yes, you were. So, you know, we can't really, all right, we're not going to, like, you know, too much, you know, blame Brian Cashman. You know, he's always going
to... Well, I can't fire you. I can't fire you, Theo. Thanks for the call. You're not one of the decision makers. Neither is any of the people who are in the fan base. This is the guy who's saying we have enough. So let's see if you have enough. Let's see if that's true. Because if you don't, who's the guy that ultimately put the team together? That's what I thought. Spike in St. Pete. Next, Spike, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great. I disagree with you on Harden, and I rarely disagree with you, which is interesting. Pineapple pizza and so on and so forth. You throw him into the breach tonight, and I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. If he feels good enough, how much better is he going to feel in a day? There's only a day or 2 days between the next games. You're playing at home. You spread the floor out for Durant, and you got to get to 110, 115. I don't care if Durant scores 45, and I can't get more than 45 or 50, no matter how I twist it and figure it between the other three, Harris and help me out here.
Griffin and Jeff Green.
Green, yeah. I can't get more than 45, so maybe I'm off. So I'll give you 100 there. Brown may get, I don't know. You don't know with him. And Mike James, I still think it's the other Mike James. I don't see getting to 110 or 115. Now, I use the fouls up on Giannis because in the last two series, he's shooting under 60%.
Listen, from the line, he's been absolutely terrible, Spike. Thanks for the call. Giannis has been god-awful from the line. And he's also, you want to shoot it outside, go nuts. Please. Beat us on three-pointers, Giannis. Beat us that way. Let's see it. Boy, you want to talk about the real pressure in this series, it's on Giannis. I mean, if Giannis now doesn't get home, that speaks a heck of a lot more about him than anyone else. 800-919-3776. I apologize, Jake. Are we going to break before the bottom of the hour? How are we doing this? We are going to step aside momentarily, but we're going to jam as many of your calls in the next few minutes before the Don Show with an Islander pregame at the bottom of the hour, friends. So, lock it in. We're going to make it work. And we're going to do as much as we can.
It's Carlin.
I'm smart. I'm like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Let's roll. 800-919-3776. Momentarily, I'm going to give you the truly hard seltzer play of the game, but I'm just waiting to see if the Yankees can actually score a run or two in the first inning before we do that. Let us roll back and hit. Let's go. Kevin in Orange, New Jersey, next. Kevin, what's up, baby?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
I want to talk about why all this pressure is being put on KD to win this, at least this game. To go
because he is the best player on the court, and he is universally acknowledged as probably the second best player in the game right now, if not the best. And when you are regarded as that, you go and you win games, and you feast on the pressure, and you eat it up.
You have a player on this team that no one's mentioned, who was supposed to have been a superstar in his own right. And nobody's mentioning his name.
And that is?
And you probably know who I'm talking about.
If it's who I think you're talking about, I'm going to be disappointed in you.
I'm talking about Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Look, Blake Griffin is capable of throwing up one of those games now every once in a while. Thanks for the call. He is not capable of carrying a team in a game. He's not. If he has 18 and 14 like he did in game one, fantastic. Love to see it. I'll be the first one to say Blake Griffin stepped up and got it done. This game is not on Blake Griffin. This game is on Kevin Durant. Gio Urshela grounded out with two on. That ended the first inning, and that's your Truly Hard play of the game. Brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. That outstanding Truly Hard Seltzer. That was my little stretch there to emphasize the fact that I was screwing up the copy. So let me just straighten it out by just making a noise and get it straight in my head. The Truly Hard play of the game brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. That's just my way of taking you behind the vast curtain of this unbelievable operation out of my house right now. Anthony in Staten Island is next. 98.7 ESPN. Anthony, what's up?
Chris, thanks for taking the call, pal.
Listen, got it.
Big Yankee fan. Here's the thing that a lot of people aren't saying. I don't know why. Everybody's calling for Aaron Boone's job, right? Time to fire Boone. Great. You fire Boone, who are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in another Aaron Boone because the truth of the matter is the manager isn't the one calling the shots on this team. This is coming from the upper management, the analytic people, the guys behind the computer are telling him what lineup to put up, what changes to make, who should be the first reliever in what situation. So if the Yankees are going to fire Aaron Boone, they're basically saying what we're doing analytically is completely wrong. It would be the biggest joke for them to fire Aaron Boone and then turn around and say, we're an analytically driven team when he's the guy that they put in there to do what they want him to do, their bidding. There's a reason Buck Showalter, Chris, isn't managing in Major League Baseball anymore.
Anthony, you're 100% right. This isn't about Aaron Boone. Thanks for the call. This is about the front office, the team they have assembled. And if you're going to do it, and Michael talked about this quite a bit today, if you're going to fire the manager in this situation, you are being hypocritical. Because he has done everything that you have wanted him to do. Dave, Jersey City, next. Dave, what's up?
I'm just going from just listening. I think all the Nets need is James Harden to play that third quarter. And Stephen A. made a comment about Kevin Durant being the best player in New York. Tonight will be the day that he defines that moment. Because Walt Frazier and Patrick Ewing to find those moments in New York so Stephen A can just stay off the weed. But Durant has to play the big game today. Durant has to play the big game.
You're right.
That's all it boils down to.
Dave, thanks for the call, and you're 100% right. He has to be great tonight. He has to be great. And for Durant, it is one of those games that will enhance his legacy. I don't know how much it's going to hurt it. People are still going to treat him with the same respect. What I don't want to hear is excuses. I don't want to hear excuses afterward. People making excuses for Durant. Eli, Washingtonville. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Eli, what do you got?
Hey, Carlos. Well, I'll get to my Yankee point. Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt Durant's legacy. Come on, man. This guy, two-time finals MVP. Like, he beat LeBron James and LeBron
okay,
James.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you for a second. Eli. Yeah. You're right. Two-time finals MVP, you're right. He beat LeBron. No, they beat LeBron James. He was playing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Right, and this guy was playing with, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So, you know, it's super team versus super team. There you go.
Anyway, I mean, Klay Thompson's a lot better than Kevin Love. You know that. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so to my Yankee point, listen, to all Yankee fans out there, I'm telling you, we're gonna become the New York Knicks fans of New York, where the owners of the New York Yankees are in love with Brian Cashman. They're going to bed with Brian Cashman. Because look, how many times has this guy embarrassed the organization with his signings? Jacoby Ellsbury, all the pitchers you said that he brought in besides the no-brainers. Last year, when he made Aaron Boone try to outsmart the Tampa Bay Rays, that was his call, and his analytics team. So,
hey,
listen,
I agree on all of those fronts. Embarrassed the organization is a strong way to put it, but he has spent a lot of money that hasn't yielded much return. Mo in South Brunswick, Mo, you've got roughly 20 seconds.
Carlin, I love you, but I think you're dead wrong. I think if Kevin Durant, we're not talking about the series. If Kevin Durant cannot win the championship, if he cannot win this series, he does not belong in the elite class of elite players, of, you know, even of his contemporaries. They have more than enough to beat Giannis and the role players on that time. Take it easy, Carlin. Love
Thanks
you,
for the call. I don't think it hurts him all that much. I think it enhances him. But I'm fascinated to see if Harden's out there with him.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.